Chapter 16. It was like a punch to Han's gut, watching Rizzo's speeder blow to smithereens. But as their shuttle left the planet's atmosphere, regret gave way to breathtaking wonder. Han was in space. He could hardly believe it. He'd always thought it would be dark and black. Instead, it was as bright as day, and he could see everything from the hull of the shuttle to Kira's face to Corellia's nearest moon in bright relief and perfect detail. The planet grew distant, becoming a tiny, shining dot. Unlike the planet, the sun Coral didn't seem any smaller from here, just whiter, maybe brighter. Space, it turned out, was huge. A man could have a lot of room all to himself out here. The shuttle drifted into a turn, aiming for the edge of the solar system. Han watched the pilot closely, watched how his hands danced over the controls, so many of them. Piloting a starship was completely different from piloting a speeder, apparently. You had to think in three dimensions. Even though the ship itself had artificial gravity, out in the black of space, there was nothing to tell you which way was down. The proximity sensor pinged. "What was that?" Kira said.
"We've got Imperials on our tail," said the pilot. "They followed us from Corellia."
The shuttle shook with an impact.
"They're firing on us,"
Su'ulo said.
"Preparing to jump into hyperspace," said the co-pilot.
Han's heartbeat was a drum in his chest. He was finally going to see hyperspace. A second impact wrenched his neck. It would have thrown Han across the shuttle if not for the harness of his jump seat.
"In three,"
the pilot said.
"Two. One."
He pulled back on a lever. Han felt a lurch in his belly, as if he'd just fallen. His ears popped, and the stars suddenly stretched into bright lines of light. He could hardly breathe. It was like they were traveling through a tunnel of light, and it was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen in his life. It was over in mere seconds. The ship dropped back into real space, and though the shuttle's compensators made the transition as smooth as Corellian brandy, he felt the change in his very bones. The pilot twisted in his seat to check on his passengers.
"Everyone all right back there?"
Actually, Han thought he might be sick.
"You're looking a little green, kid. First time in hyperspace."
Han nodded, not trusting himself to open his mouth.
"You get used to it,"
the pilot assured him. The Wookiee whined, something about wet, or maybe water.
"Didn't think we'd see you again, Roo," the pilot said to the Wookiee. "Glad to have you back, though I have no idea what you're saying."
"I think he's thirsty,"
Han choked out through his nausea. He turned in his seat to find the Wookiee nodding vigorously.
"We're almost there," the pilot said.
"Thirst is probably a side effect of that gas," whispered Kira. "At least he's not attacking us." Then her eyes narrowed. "What are you staring at?" He was staring at her, and her chin-length brown hair, and her eyes that seemed to change color with her mood. He said,
"It just occurred to me, we're alive. I mean, I really thought we were done for back there."
"We're not out of this yet,"
Su'ulo pointed out, just as Kira said, "The engineer will probably kill us as soon as she gets the data cube." Han glared.
"I'm surrounded by pessimists."
"Hey, isn't that the sun?" Kira said, pointing. "I thought light speed would take us far away from Corellia."
"It was just a feint," the pilot explained. "To lose our pursuers. We're heading for that asteroid cluster. The engineer's ship is hiding there."
"You can do that?" Han said. "Exit hyperspace close to where you entered?"
"Well," the pilot said, grinning, "not everyone can do it. And truth be told, we're not that close. We traveled all the way across the system. We still covered a distance that would have taken days to travel at sublight speed."
"So you're a good pilot," Han said.
"Kid, I'm one of the best,"
the Wookiee growled.
"Not as good as Kiru back there," the pilot amended hastily. "Aru might be the best pilot I've ever met,
The engineer's going to be really glad to get him back.
The asteroid cluster he'd pointed to seemed like a jumble of whitish-gray pebbles floating in space. But as they neared, Han revised his assessment. The asteroids were huge, easily able to hide a starship. If you could somehow mash them together, you'd end up with a small moon. The shuttle veered close to one of them, so close that Han could see its porous surface, along with several impact craters. It was the largest, vaguely round, and the shuttle rumbled a little, compensating for the asteroid's light gravitational pull. The other asteroids nearby were irregular. One was even jagged, like a chunk of it had recently been sheared away.
"Su'ulo, you've been in space before, right?" Kira said.
The Rhodian nodded.
"I was really young when we left Coruscant, but I still remember everything about that trip."
Han translated, and Kira added, "Yeah, I'm not going to forget this as long as I live."
"Which might not be very long,"
Su'ulo added cheerfully. The shuttle swung around the asteroid, and a starship appeared before them. Han and Kira gasped. It was shiny and sleek, with curved lines and a reflective hull. Totally different from the messy, irregularly shaped Corellian ships he'd seen his whole life. Several levels of viewing decks shone with artificial light. Bright red glittered along the edges of glowing blue drive units. The red was an aesthetic choice, Han realized, like Rizzo's Holoflames attachment.
"That's beautiful," Kira breathed.
"That's the Red Nimbus, an AC-75P yacht liner," the pilot said. "A luxury cruiser manufactured on Nubia."
Han had heard of yachts, pleasure barges with every possible amenity, used by the galaxy's richest citizens. He never dreamed he'd lay eyes on one like this, much less board it. Though, looking at the Red Nimbus through the viewport, he couldn't help thinking that it wasn't for him. Those red lights, the shimmering hull, the overwrought name, it all spoke to form over function. His friend B at the garage would have hated it. Han himself would take a messy, jumbled, fast Corellian cruiser over a luxury yacht any day. Kira obviously didn't share his opinion, though. She stared at the massive yacht, mouth agape, her heart in her eyes. The pilot aimed directly for the side of the yacht. A small docking port jutted out of it. The pilot's and co-pilot's hands flew over the console, making adjustments as the shuttle slowed, pivoted, and backed into the port. It was going to be a perfect fit, like an identichip clicking into a reader slot. The shuttle lurched, and a hollow metal sound echoed through Han's chest. The docking clamps had engaged.
"You can unclasp your belts now," the pilot said.
The back of the shuttle opened. The ramp lowered and hit with a thud. Light nearly blinded them. The Wookiee was out of his seat and down the ramp faster than Han could blink. Several figures in white uniforms waited for them, standing in a small cargo bay. The Wookiee rushed over to them and gave each one a massive hug. One young man in particular was lifted from his feet, and he grinned widely, patting the Wookiee on his hairy back.
"Good to see you, Roo," he said.
Han, Su'ulo, and Kira followed the Wookiee more slowly, the pilot at their heels.
"That's the servant staff," the pilot explained.
His expression saddened.
"We already lost two of our own, cut down by Kaldorna during the auction. So we're very glad to have our friend back." "What now?"
Han asked. The cargo bay contained a small freight lift for hauling supplies. The lift rose to a second level with a glass-encased booth, perfect for overseeing the cargo bay, and, Han was willing to bet, sealed well enough that the bay could be vented in a pinch.
"I have to run a maintenance check on my shuttle," the pilot said. "A standard procedure after taking fire. That's the engineer's personal assistant there. He'll take you to see her."
"Thank you," Kira said, reaching for his hand and shaking it. "For getting us off Corellia. You saved our lives."
"Yeah, thanks, pal," Han echoed. "We owe you one."
The personal assistant was a small, balding man with a very round belly that overhung the waist of his pants.
"This way," he said. "My mistress is anxious to meet you all."
They followed him up the lift, through the glass booth, and past a galley busy with three chefs. Something smelled amazing, warm and meaty, and gently spiced. Han's stomach growled in response.
"I'm so hungry," Saulo whispered. "It feels like my stomach is eating itself."
Han knew the feeling. After the galley, they passed through a corridor with lush red carpeting, limned with red floor lights. Paintings hung on the walls at regular intervals. Maybe they were fine art, worth millions of credits each. If so, what a waste. The corridor ended with a short stair, which took them to an elegant viewing deck. A fully stocked bar stretched along one wall. Beside it was furniture for lounging. A divan, a long couch, several reclining swivel chairs, all oriented to take best advantage of the glorious view. Because the entire opposite wall was a viewport that looked right into the heart of star-studded space. A whole wall, made of space-worthy glass. Han couldn't imagine how expensive that was, or why it was even necessary. If this ship were his, he'd be spending all his time in the cockpit anyway. The only viewport he'd ever need was the one in there. Standing before the giant viewport was a tall, slender woman. Her back was to them, and she wore a gauzy silver gown with a low back that exposed smooth, dark skin. Her dense black hair gave her an extra half meter of height. It was wound high on the top of her head, held in place by a silver scarf, the end of which drifted down her long neck. She held a wine glass in her left hand.
"You have a plan for this part, right?" Han whispered to Kira.
Kira shook her head and mouthed no.
"Dear Force, please help,"
Saulo muttered.
"Don't let this lady kill us."
The lady in question turned and stared at the three of them. After a moment, her lips turned up into a smile, as choreographed and careful a smile as Han had ever seen. She was extraordinarily beautiful, with full lips set off by a strong jaw and wide brown eyes that turned up slightly at the corners. Dollops of white makeup were painted on her cheeks in the shape of teardrops, a sharp contrast to her dark skin. The only thing giving away the fact that she was not human was her nose. It lay nearly flat against her face, and her nostrils were slit-like, almost grindelid in nature.
"Welcome aboard the Red Nimbus," she said in a low, breathy voice.
Thanks, Han said.
Thanks? That's all he had? What happened to Improvise Guy?
"Are you the engineer?" Kira asked. "I am."
"In that case, thank you for the extraction," Kira said. "And for bringing us aboard your ship. The Red Nimbus is beautiful." The engineer waved a dismissive hand.
"It was the least I could do for the young scoundrels who kept my data cube out of enemy hands. Not to mention returned my Wookiee to me. I'm very glad to reacquire him. He's my most valuable asset."
Reacquire. Asset. The words didn't sit right in Han's gut. Saulo jumped in with,
"What should we call you?"
Han almost translated, but Kira beat him to it.
"I'm Kira. These are my friends Han and Saulo. Saulo just inquired about your name."
Kira was better in her tease than she'd realized.
"I'm afraid I have to keep that to myself. For now, call me Genra. It's a title from my homeworld, and I suppose it will serve as a name."
Kira gave her a smile as careful and choreographed as Genra's own.
"It's a pleasure to meet you, Engineer Genra."
Genra studied Kira for a moment, her head cocked as if evaluating the girl. Then she took a sip of wine and stepped toward them, her silver gown swishing at her ankles.
"Do you have my cube?" she asked, extending her hand.
Han looked to Kira and Saulo, who both nodded at him. So he reached into the pocket of his vest, fished it out, and placed it in her warm palm. She looked close, her eyes plainly assessing it. Then her fingers closed around it as her chest rose and fell with a deep breath.
"Thank you," she said. "Now, forgive my bluntness, but you all look terrible, like you've been running for days without sleep."
"I'm sure we smell even worse," Han grumbled.
Again, that careful smile.
"I wasn't going to say. In any case, I invite you to enjoy the hospitality of my yacht. I can offer comfortable sleeping quarters, food and drink."
Her nostril slits flared.
"Also bathing. And my staff can launder your clothing."
Kira sighed, probably louder than she meant to.
"That sounds incredible."
"I'm going to assess the cube for damage," Jenra said.
Han's alarm must have shown on his face, because she held up a placating hand.
"You did your best, I know. But the cube has been through a lot, and I need to make sure the data is intact before we make a plan. In the meantime, my assistant will escort you to the head, where you can bathe and change, and then to your sleeping quarters. After you've had some rest, and if you're interested, he'll give you a tour of the yacht."
"Oh, I'm interested," Han blurted before he could stop himself. "I'd really love..."
Everyone was staring at him, so he brought it down a notch and said more carefully,
"I'd like to see the cockpit, please."
"That can be arranged," Jenra said. And this time her smile was indulgent. "Eat, rest, and tour. And then we'll talk."